to worship and adore the Lord our God.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, a message from God's Word brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message in its entirety again, to download it, or to choose from a variety of other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, log on to WGCRpreaching.net.
Your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians. Book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. I've been a praying. I've had 5 messages I was trying to pick which one I was supposed to preach, and I cannot get away from this one. So I had to chunk all them 5 and just come to this one. I've not got it off my mind for a whole week or so. Well, ever since Dad called me, I tried to go a different direction studying this afternoon. That wouldn't work either. So this is evidently what the Lord wants. And I want to be a help. I never want to be a hindrance. Amen. I want to always try to be a help and be a blessing to God's people if I can. And so 2 Thessalonians, we're going to look at chapter number 2. And if you will, let's all stand, reverence reading God's Word just for a few verses here, and then we'll try to give you the thought Lord's laid upon our hearts tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 1, says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." You can be seated. Our Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for allowing us to be back in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing and privilege, Lord, to be able to read your word tonight. God, we just ask you, Lord, that you'd take the words that we've read. Lord, ask you to bless them to our hearts and our minds. God, you know the thought, Lord, that you've laid upon our hearts, Lord, to not be able to get away from it. Lord, we just ask you to help us tonight to preach your word. God, I know I can't preach in myself, but Lord, you're the one that called us. Lord, you're the one that put us here tonight. And God, we just ask you if you would one more time. Fill us with your spirit, fill us with your power, and help us to preach your word the way you'd have us to. Lead, guide, and direct. Meet each and every need. Speak to hearts, we pray. Help us each one to leave different what we came, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you look at this passage of Scripture, I'm interested in the first few verses, but I want to read that whole entirety of those verses there just for a reference. But as I begin to look at this thought and what the Lord's laid upon my heart, you know, we're living in some very strange days. Right. Can you say amen to that? Sure. I mean, I'm talking very strange. People are strange. Society is strange. Government strange. Even the workplace, even the family life, it's strange. It's different now than what it was. I begin to think about how that in these days and times that we live, they're not only just strange, they're weird. They're weird. They're discouraging. Can I say this? Let me ask you this. Ain't there uncomfortable times?
Sure.
I mean, it's not a real comfortable place for the child of God in this present world we live in right now. It's not. And I believe it's just a sign of the times. We're getting down toward the end of this thing. God told us what was going to happen. It's in His Word. He told us it was going to get bad. He told us it was going to get worse. He told us it was going to get south. And He told us to get ready. And so we know these times are strange. Well, even though they're uncomfortable times, the Bible also talks about perilous times. So they're strange times. There's strange things going on. There's dangerous times. You look around at the society we live in, son, there's a lot of danger out there now.
Sure.
There's a lot of danger. We don't see a lot of it right here close, but there's some dangerous times. There's dangerous places to live out in this world right now. So dangerous times. And can I say this? A lot of times with the child of God, it's discouraging times. Has anybody in here had any battle, any trouble with just a little smidgen of discouragement in your spiritual life at all? Anybody had any? I mean, you might be a lot better off than I am, a lot better shape than I am, but you just suffered just a little bit of discouragement here and there, usually on a Monday morning, usually on a Wednesday morning, about every day here lately, because they're discouraging times that we live in. Well, all those times, in a way, it affects us. You know what it's done? It's affected the church. It's affected the children of God, and it's infected the children of God, and now it's got in the church and infected the church.
You're right.
You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, we're talking about strange times. Years ago, used to, you turn the TV off, turn the radio off, and went to church.
Right.
Now they're turning the radio on and turning the TV on to go to church. What's up with that?
Yeah, you're right.
God still says for us to assemble together.
Sure.
Now I know we've got COVID. Y'all have been through it. We have too. And I thank God for Facebook. I'm not knocking Facebook. We got some older folk in the church that just can't come. A lot of times they can't come on Wednesday night, and I praise the Lord that we can do Facebook and they can actually watch it, get in on the service. Thank God for it. But if you're in good enough health, if you can go to the grocery store, you can go to go get something to eat, you can go to work, you can go down and pay bills, then you can go to the house of God.
Sure.
Plain and simple. But it's strange times. You think about this. How many times over the years we've seen preachers called to preach? We've seen missionaries going to the mission field.
Right.
When's the last time you heard that going on?
Yeah, you're right.
Nothing is different.
That's right.
You can't even get people to go to church, much less surrender to any service for God.
You're right.
You think about it. It's just strange times. It's different times in the house of God.
Right.
I think about this. Our worship is even different.
You're right.
Worship in the house of God is different. People don't come into the house of God with a smile on their face, springing their step, shouting the victory when they come through the door.
Right.
Most of the time they come through the door and they look like salvation's killing them. Is it all right if I preach? Are y'all okay?
Yeah,
I'm just trying to try to help us tonight. But you come to the house of God, it's a wonder preachers even preach.
Because
they come to church and everybody looks like it's just they just barely got there.
Yeah.
And you're like, what in the world's going on? This is the place we ought to come and enjoy life, is in the house of God. This ought to be the peak of our week, is being in the house of God. But we're living in strange times. So with that, this is what I want to preach on. This is my thought tonight. For Lord help us. I want to preach on a saint of God stirred but not shaken. A saint of God stirred but not shaken. There's a big difference in being stirred and being shaken. How many here has ever been shook up in your life? You've been shook up. I remember the story you told when you was in that hot rod Camaro and the Lord was dealing with you. And then you got in that, you slid that thing around in that gravel, almost run underneath it, and you started shaking. It wasn't a few weeks ago, we was headed to church on, I think it was on a Wednesday, night. It was back in the summertime, we was headed to church on a Wednesday night. And as usual, I'd got off late from work, so I come home, jumped in the vehicle, changed clothes, then we headed down the mountain. We was going down through there, and we got one of those curves on 178, and I mean, I was trying to get there as quick as I could. And I come around the curve, and there's a big F-250 truck pulling a trailer. And he was half in my lane. I'm talking right in a curve. And luckily, we was right there in that curve where that old greenhouse sits in that big old gravel driveway. Angie screamed, which scared me half to death. But whenever she screamed, I pulled it over and we hit that gravel, slid that car sideways and got stopped. And I mean, brother, we was that close to hitting him head on right there in that curve. You know what happened? I was like, man, that was close. I said, that's about as close to having a head-on collision, I said, as I've ever had right there. I said, what in the world was he doing? I said, he is plumb over in our lane. And we got shook up.
Yeah.
Well, see, what the Bible's talking about here, Paul's talking to the church of Thessalonica. These folks were having trouble with being shook up.
Right.
And so Paul began to talk to them. Let's look what the Bible says in verse number 1. It says, now we beseech. You know what the word beseech means?
Yeah.
Paul's begging the folks there at the church of Thessalonica. He said in verse number 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind. Anybody ever been shook up in your mind?
Right.
Situations in life, circumstances in life, storms in life, valleys in life, trouble in life. You get shook up in your mind.
Right.
You ever get shook up in your mind? You can't operate.
Right.
When you get shook up like that for just a few minutes, I was shook up, I couldn't do anything. up there at Sapphire where I work at. I'd been working up there not too long. It's one of the first times I'd ever worked a whole 24-hour period straight. I'd never done that in life landscaping. You don't work in the middle of the night. We was up there working on lift station. Lift station 41 is one of our biggest ones up there. That sucker's 26 foot deep from the top of it all the way down the concrete. We'd been there all night working on that thing. It went out about 6 o'clock. I'd worked all day. I was on call that night. That thing went out about 6:30 that evening. Went up there, tried to fix it. I couldn't get it going. I called the electrician in. He come up there. Everything in the world was wrong with it. We worked on it all night long. We had a big old butterfly valve on there, and we'd replaced it. We was tightening the bolts up on it. And I was bent over one of them big old motors, and I had the wrench on there, and the helper was in there, and we was tightening them flange bolts up. We'd been there all night. And I remember whenever I looked up in the sky, it was just starting to get daylight. You could just start to see the light of the sun, but you could still see the stars. So we'd been there all night. Well, during the night, we had to keep that thing pumped down. It's a sewer lift station, by the way. You had to keep this thing pumped down. So we had a pump truck there. Well, the lid kept getting in the way. So me, being smart, I said, get rid of that lid. We don't need it. I said, get it out of the way so you can clean it out. So we pulled it off. That way the guy get in there and keep everything sucked out for us. We'd worked on that thing all night, got them bolts tightened up. And I raised up and I was like, oh, my back is killing me. I said, all right. I said, turn around, see if it leaks. And I took a step backwards. Boom, down that hole I went, just like that. Well, I remembered, and it's amazing how things can happen, how you can remember things so quickly. I'm talking about this is just like split seconds. When I went down, my first thing was, Lord, don't let me gag on nothing. That's my first thought, because I'm getting ready to go into a sewer lift station. I said, my mind was keep my mouth closed. I said, I don't want it in my hair. What little bit of hair I got, I don't want it in my hair. Lord, help me. But I remember that piece of pipe going out the side, and whenever I went down, I felt it hit my leg, and I just reached over and bear hugged it, and I spun underneath that thing, held my breath, got the ladder, and climbed out of there. And when I climbed out, Philip, our electrician, sitting there, he is as white as the pages on that Bible right there. He just knew this would fish me out of there dead. He said, you need to sit down. I said, no, I'm all right. I said, turn that thing on, see if it leaks. He said, no, you need to sit down. I'm not all right. And so he sat down on the bucket, and we sat there a few minutes. He said, just sit down on the steps a minute. He said, let me calm down. When I sat down, brother, you know what happened? I started doing that. And then the light started going out. And I said, Lord, I'm going to pass out. So when I got shook up, it hindered me from doing anything. You know what I did? I just laid back and I looked up in the sky and had to sit there. Well, when God's people get shook up, things in their life, guess what? They can't operate like they normally do. They can't shout like they're supposed to. They can't sing like they're supposed to. They can't be faithful like they're supposed to. They can't have joy in their heart like they're supposed to. They can't be happy like they're supposed to. Why? Because they're shook up. And a lot of times things in life will shake us up. That's what happened to the church this day. He said, see that ye be not soon shaken. So I began to think about it. I was like, okay, we've got a lot of things in life. There are strange times, difficult times, discouraging times, all these things that are weighing in on our minds. He said, that you be not soon shaken in mind. Then he said this, or be troubled. Well, we know what Job said about trouble, don't we? Man born of woman, a few days, full of trouble. But Paul said, hey, there's going to be trouble. Face anybody ever suffered trouble, it was Paul. Everywhere he went, everything he tried to do, he had trouble. But he says, don't let trouble shake you up. Right. Think about this. How many times have you had trouble in your life? Troubled in your heart, your mind, your soul? Yeah. You just have trouble. Sometimes we just have trouble because we live in this life. You're material right. Things, everything. But we always have trouble. And if we're not careful, trouble will shake you up.
You're right.
When you're shook up, you're no good to nobody.
Right.
When you're shook up, you're no good to God or yourself or nobody else.
Son.
And he said right here, he said, see that you be not soon shaken in mind. He said, or be troubled. He said, look at what he said right here. He said, neither by spirit. Okay, so let's think about this for a minute. How many of you ever felt that troubling spirit come around? Everything may be going pretty good in your life, but for some reason there's a troubling spirit crawls up here. A lot of times just crawls up here and begins to try to trouble you in your mind, in your emotions, in your heart. And what he'll try to do, if he can trouble you and get you troubled, then you'll begin to spread that trouble. See, that's what's happened in our churches today. People are so shook up. They're so troubled. They're so distracted in life and the things going on in this world right now that they're being shook up. Shook up in every aspect of their life. It's amazing to me. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me just keep going right here. So I began to think about, okay, what's some things that are shaking up the church right now? What are some things that are shaking up the church? Well, number one, I want to say it this way. We should not be shaken, number one, by scoffers' sayings. Now, I'm going somewhere. Just give me a minute. There's a lot of scoffing going on when it comes to God's people in the church. Whether you realize it or not, they think you're a bunch of nuts. You're the biggest idiots on the face of God's earth to come to church on a Friday night when there's a whole world out there for something for you to do. You're crazy to come in and put your money in an offering plate. You're crazy to believe a book that a bunch of men wrote. You're crazy to believe in a God that you can't see. Trust in a heaven that you can't see. Believe in a hell that you can't see. You have lost your mind. Yeah. Believe it or not, that's what the world thinks of you. Yeah. It is. And I can imagine what they think about a preacher. Imagine. Now, listen to this. There's a lot of religious people out there right now that are scoffing at this book. They're scoffing at that book. There's a big stir right now. They're just all scoffing the King James Bible. They say you're a bunch of nuts. They say the only reason that you believe that King James Bible is because of tradition. That's what they're saying, tradition. Well, I got news for them. If it worked for Paw, there ain't no sense in changing nothing. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Hallelujah. I'm all for tradition when it lines up with that book right there. They want to throw everything up as tradition, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of scoffers out there. They're going to scoff at you trying to live right and do right. They're going to scoff at the church. You ever heard somebody just scoff a church? Well, I wouldn't go over at that church. Well, they're probably glad you didn't. They're probably glad you don't. They don't want you coming with attitude like that. No. They scoff. A lot of times in this world, scoffers, what they say. A lot of people, they would say that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Biggest lie ever told.
That's right.
You know how I know that? Because I have seen so many. Now, you listen to me. I've been in church all my life. This is all I know. Thank God for it. So I've seen God's people from Middle Fork to Victory to Victory to Tabernacle to Trinity. 5 years. And as a preacher's son, you just look at people. Sure. Preacher's kids know what's going on. They know.
That's right.
All right. So preacher kids look around. It's amazing to me how many people say, well, so-and-so said this. I ain't going back to that church. I've preached it before at my church. I said, folks, I said, don't let what somebody says, what somebody does, hinder you from going to church. I'm dealing with a family right now. I've been trying for 4 years, brother, to get them in church. You know what they say? Well, that preacher done this. And I'm like, what's a preacher got to do with it? God's the one on the throne. He's the one that we're supposed to go to church to worship, not the preacher, God. But scoffer sayings, if you're not careful, Satan will put that in your mind. He'll put that in your heart, and he'll twist that thing, and he'll mess you up. He'll have you shook all to pieces over what somebody says, what somebody does. I don't know about you, but I'm just determined. I'm going to serve God. I don't care if nobody else does. I'm going to serve God. We started Sunday night services down there at Trinity. When we first went, the pastor cut out all Sunday night services completely. Wasn't having any. Hadn't had any for a while. And it cut out half the Wednesday night services. So we went there, and you know, you don't just come in and blow everything up first time, first year. You kind of go in there and you go in easy, easy, easy. I said, hey, we're going to go back and have Sunday night services. And so we had to vote on it, and everybody's sitting there. And one of the men just aggravated me. I knew what he was going to do. Some of them just aggravate you. And they're my faithful crowd. I knew they was going to come. And so he said, well, preacher, what if nobody comes? And I stood in the pulpit, and I meant exactly what I said. I said, as long as I got a key for this church, I said, if I have to come in and do the cleaning, if I have to come in and do the singing, if I have to take up the offering, if I have to play the instruments, if I have to preach and I have to teach, I'm coming to church whether y'all do or not. be nice in this day and time if some of God's people quit being so shook up and just get some grit about them and go on for the glory of God. We're going to have that in these last days. If you don't have it, you're not going to make it in these last days. I got news for you. I know that, I'm trying to get ahead of myself. I know better things are coming for the church. I know that. My hope's not in this government. My hope's in the Lord. I know it's going to go south, but God's still got everything under control, and we're still His people, and He's still going to take care of us.
Amen.
But scoffers saying shouldn't shake us up. Number two, something else shouldn't shake us up. Society's struggles. Has that bothered anybody in here? Has that bothered anybody? Did it bother you when you went to the Dollar General a while back and there wasn't no toilet paper? How many of y'all stocked up on toilet paper? Raise your hand. Everybody here did. We act like we can't live without it. And I'm thinking the woods, these leaves there, God blesses and puts them leaves out there every single year. Every year. Puts them out there. I mean, God gives us toilet paper and we act like we can't live without that stuff. But I'm telling you, society struggles. Society is struggling right now. Have you seen it? Now, I don't know about you, but if I watch the news much, and my mama's sitting back there and she's smiling at me because she knows. I'll call her every once in a while and say, what do you know? She'll call me and say, what do you know? Because we're always talking about the news. And I need to get off of it. Y'all pray for me. I need help. But society struggles. Society's trying to figure out what gender they are when they ain't but two. They're trying to figure out who they're going to identify by. And I'm like, we're in this strange times. Who would have ever thought that you couldn't go to McDonald's and walk in and sit down and have a meal anymore because there ain't nobody at work?
You're right.
Who would have ever thought that? When we was in school, everybody had a job. You could go anywhere and put application in and go to work. Everybody wanted to work. And I'm thinking, what's going on now? Is there not any kids in school anymore? Is the public school shut down? Are there any kids at work? Mom and daddy need to kick her butt out of the house and put them to work.
That's right.
I'm sorry, you say what you want to,
right.
But with this preacher,
right.
I believe in putting kids to work.
Sure,
always
too.
Have. You'll never do them a favor by keeping them from work. You won't do them a favor, I'm sorry.
You're right.
Put them out there, put them to work.
If
they want a cell phone, make them pay for it. They want a car, make them pay for it. They need insurance, make them pay for it. It'll teach them some responsibility, hallelujah. But we're living in strange times. Society is struggling right now. Thank God that should not shake the people of God up and bother them to where when we come to the house of God, so many things out here in this world have affected us and shook us up that we come in, we can't even worship God. This is the place of worship. How many of you tonight, you come to the house of God, don't answer this, but you come to the house of God and in your mind and in your heart and in your soul, you come to worship God.
Yes.
Now get this.
Yes.
Not that you come to hear the preacher. Lord, give me something. No. Too many times we come to God's house to get something.
Yeah.
When's the last time we come to God? To give something.
Right.
To give something. To give Him worship and praise.
Amen.
We don't do that anymore. We come to get. You know how I know that? We're down in South Carolina. I have had it up to here with people calling, saying, what do y'all got for our kids? I've had it with that. I've had it. Can I vent just for a minute? Had a lady call say, we would come over if y'all had a gym. Actually, can you believe that? Actually,
yeah.
Said that.
Oh, yeah.
We would come if you had a gym. I've had it. Where did strange times?
Right.
When
right.
did church become an entertainment industry?
Right.
Where you've got to have all this stuff. We're to come to worship Him. And if He gives us something in the midst of it, thank God for it. But we're supposed to come to God's house to worship Him. To enjoy, to rejoice, to shout and enjoy God. Because you sure can't do it out there. But society, their struggles sometimes. All these things I'm talking about, scoffers saying society struggles. If you're not careful, It'll shake you up in your spirit and in your mind. Now I thought about this one. Here's the last one on this little part, and we'll get something else. Should not be shaken by scoffers saying, should not be shaken by society struggles. Should not be shaken, but many times we are, by Satan's strength. Now, I don't know about you, but we're not fighting a weak enemy. We're not. He's defeated. Yes, he is. Thank God he is. But when you look around and what kind of hold he's got on this world, it's unbelievable how much power that he does have. Now, I know he's defeated and we serve a God that he ain't got nothing on God. But you and I are no match without God. We're not. You think you're going to go fight devil in your own? You're not. You will fall. We have to go in God's strength. Over there in the book of Ephesians, Paul said, stand therefore in the power of his might, not yours. But if we're not careful, we'll see how much control Satan has.
You're right.
We'll look at how much power Satan has, and we'll see the influence Satan has.
Right.
It seems like he's got, I mean, right now, let's just be honest, right now, he's got a stronghold on this nation.
Right.
He's got a stronghold on people. He's even got a pretty good hold on the house of God anymore,
You're
if
right.
you think about it.
You're right.
He does. Not every one of them, but a lot of them, he's got a hold of them.
Yeah.
If you're not careful, you'll see those things and it'll shake you up. And I wonder if that's the reason why church is the way it is now. You come in, you can't shout. Come in, you can't worship. Come in, you just barely, I mean, spiritually speaking, and I know we go through hard times. I'm not saying, I'm not being, whatever you call it, I ain't got a word for it, but you know what I'm saying. You come in the house of God, but I'm saying, why can't we come in with victory?
You're right.
This is called Victory Baptist Church, right?
God help us.
God's give us the victory already. But we don't live in the victory. God's blessed us with everything we could ever want or need in our entire life. He's given it to us. But yet we come in shook up by the things in our life. See, whether you realize it or not, preachers go through battles. Preachers go through battles. Preachers get shook up. Preachers suffer dark times. Preachers go through storms. Preachers go through valleys. Preachers go through tribulations. Yes, preachers have that as well. But guess what?
Yeah.
We can't show it.
No. That's right.
What if the preacher come in like you do?
Yeah.
What if he went to the pulpit like you do?
Yeah.
What if he led the singing like you sing?
Yeah.
Think about it just for a minute. I'm not jumping on nobody. I'm just trying to help us. But I'm being honest. You think about that just for a second. If everybody could come to the house of God one time and you're not shaken and you're worshiping God and you have victory in your life, could you imagine what could happen at the house of God? It'd be amazing. And Paul, he knew the church at Thessalonica, they were in the same shape we are right now. They were being shaken on all sides. And so Paul said, look, church, he said, I'm begging you. He said, I beseech you. He said, I'm begging you, don't be. He said, be not soon shaken. Look at verse number 2, in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, is that the day of Christ is at hand. He says, don't be shook up. He said, don't listen to all this false teacher thing. He says, don't be shook up.
Amen.
So in other words, there's a difference between being shaken and being stirred.
Sure.
See, being shaken up messes you up.
Yeah, you're right.
Being stirred up charges you up.
Sure.
I'm going to tell you the difference in the two. Now, both of them involve a little bit of shaking and a little bit of moving.
Yeah. Tell it, son.
Falling in that lift station shook me up. Almost having a car wreck shook me up. But when a deer steps out, when I'm in a deer stand, I'm shaking, but it's not the same thing. It's called being stirred up. You think about that just right. He says, be not soon shaken. So if we don't want to be shaken in our mind with the things like that, then the opposite of that is we need to be stirred up about a few things. Well, guess what? The Apostle Paul, he covered both bases in this passage of Scripture right here. I'm going to show you something. So, preacher, what's the remedy? Because there's a lot of stuff in my life that's got me shook up. Preacher, you don't know where I'm walking. Preacher, you don't know what I've went through this week. Well, you don't know what I'm going through right now. You don't know what I've went through today. You don't know that. Preacher, you don't know what's the remedy for it. You need to be stirred up about some things. You say, Preacher, how do I get stirred up? Well, let's do the very first thing you need to do is you need to go to the Word of God. So we're looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I like this right here. We should not be shaken by scoffer saying, society struggles, Satan's strength, but we should be stirred by, number one. Look at verse number chapter 2, verse number 1.
Sure.
Now we beseech you, brethren, he's begging them not to be shaken up, and look what he starts with. By the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say this? We ought to be stirred by Savior's promise. Our Bible, if you've got a King James 16:11 Bible, it still says, my Bible says, he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Many times in our life, we live day after day, week after week, month after month, and we're never stirred about the coming of our Lord. When we see times doing like they are right now and everything winding down, we ought to be so stirred up right now. You couldn't keep us sitting down for nothing because God's coming. The Lord's coming back. It's in that Bible. That's why God put it there. He said to comfort one another, these words. He said, I am coming. I don't know if that stirred you up or not, but I'm telling you what, God's promise, our Savior's promise, he said, I'm coming back. If you're saved tonight and you believe God and you trust his word, he says, I'm coming back for you. That's his promise. Don't make no difference what the Democrats do. Don't make no difference what your 401k does. Doesn't make no difference what happens at the grocery store. Don't make no difference what happens at the workplace. Thank God, God, he is coming back. And that should stir you and stir me. He said, I beseech you, by the coming of the Lord, Paul immediately, he knew they were shook up. He knew they were discouraged. He knew they'd grown cold. He said, I just want to remind you, hey, the Lord is coming. He said, I beseech you, by the coming of the Lord. Not only we should be stirred by the Savior's promise, I like this one right here. The Scripture's projection. Look at verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and what else? And by our what? Gathering together unto him. Thank God he's not just coming back. But he said, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, how? Together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank God that is still in that Bible. That is still true. That is still real. And it's going to happen for the child of God. He said, the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together. Thank God we're going to all be gathered together. Together in one big happy family in heaven with God. All the ones that went on to the Lord. All the ones that went on to the Lord, went on to heaven. We're going to gather together with them. We're going to see Papa Ray one of these days. We're going to see Brother Billy Kelly one of these days. I'm going to get to see Brother Fred Dotson again. I'm going to get to see all these went on to the heaven. Thank God we're going to gather together. Paul said, hey, church at Thessalonica, why are you shook up? Do you not remember the Lord is coming and we are going to gather together with him? So we ought to be stirred up. Hallelujah. Ought to be stirred up. I don't know if that's stirring you up or not, but it's helping me. So we see the Savior's promise. We see the Scripture's projection. But I like this one. Look over at verse number 13. We didn't read this one, but we're going to read it right now. He says, but we are what? What's it say? Hey, y'all can do better than that. Come on. What's it say? Bound. So that means you're bound. You're forced. He said, we are bound to do what?
Give thanks.
Okay. Give thanks. For what? All the way to God, for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, what? Let me read those. Chosen you to salvation. We should be stirred by the Savior's promise, the Scripture's projection, and the salvation that is possessed. Hey, have you got over being born again? Have you got over being saved? I asked you how many of you is glad you saved a while ago. We had about a half a dozen, that's it. So not everybody was glad you saved. I'm here to tell you, thank God, Paul said, hey, he said, church, you're discouraged. Church, you've been shook up. Church, you've lost your shout. Church, you've lost your smile. Church, you've lost the spring in your step. Hey, church, you've got to remember, thank God, if you're saved, you got something to rejoice in. You got something to be stirred up by because you are saved. Born again, child of God. On your way to heaven. Don't have to go to hell. Don't have to suffer judgment no more. You do realize it's not just that you're saved. It's like you had never ever been lost. That's what that word justified means. It's not the original definition I used to hear years ago was just if I had never sinned. But it goes farther than that. It's just if I had never, ever been a sinner. That's what born again means. You think about this as a youngin'. We got four kids, Dylan, Dakota, Kaylin, Danielle. Until they were born, I didn't know a thing about them. Now, they've been in there 9 months, but I don't know a thing about them in that 9 months. But until they were born, think about that just a minute. Get a hold of that. God said you must be born again. Why? That new birth, you're a brand new creature. In other words, what happened before that? He just said, I don't know nothing about it. I don't remember nothing about it. I chose to forget it. All I know was the day that you got born into the family of God. That's all I see. That's all I know, that you are my child. Hallelujah. Paul said right there, he said, we're bound to give thanks. Well, guess what? You can't give thanks when you're shook up. You can't give thanks if you're shook up. Now, after I got through shaking that night, I said, thank you, Lord. Because I went back over and I looked down in that hole, and there was valves sticking out. There was metal sticking out. Had stuff on it. Sewer lift station. So you think about that. Everything can happen right there. Could have got gutted. Could have got skin up. Got that junk in. I mean, there's all kind of stuff could happen. I mean, it's not a pretty thing. It smells like money to me right now, but, you know, it just wasn't a pretty thing. And after it's all said and done, after I finally quit shaking, I was able to look down there and say, God, thank you for keeping me safe. But I could not do that till I quit shaking. Could not do that till I got them nerves calmed. Could not do that till I got calmed down and I realized what God done. That's what a lot of God's people need to do. Need to quit being so shook up. Kind of calm your nerves just a little bit and get stirred up about some things that God's allowed us to do. So you see right here, we're stirred by the Savior's promise, Scripture's projection, the salvation possessed. And the last one we find in verse number 15. Well, let's look at verse number 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great verse. Amen. Therefore, brethren, what's the next two words? Stand fast. Look what else he said. And hold what? The traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So I said we ought to be stirred by the Savior's promise, the Scripture's projection, the salvation that's possessed, and the stand that's promoted. He said right here, he said, I want you to do something. He said, now that you've quit shaking, now that you've kind of got stirred up a little bit, he said, I want you to stand fast.
Right.
That night I fell in that thing. Brother, when I started doing that, you know what I had to do? I was like, whoa. Had to sit down. Ain't it amazing in church right now how many people sits down? In every church, there'll be one, two, three, if you're lucky, shouters and praisers.
Yeah, you're right.
But the church is full of people that sit down. Mm-hmm. Makes you wonder if they've been shook up. Mm-hmm. If they're shook up day after day, week after week, month after month.
Yeah.
I've been in church, I've seen people in my life that seemingly never enjoyed God.
No.
They never worshiped. They never shouted. You know, you wonder if somebody like that's saved. And if they are saved, they're just shook up all the time. And when I was shook up, I couldn't stand. You look around and you see churches that don't stand anymore.
You're right.
You see people that don't stand anymore. I told you a while back about that fella. I can't remember his name now. He's got one in podcasts. And it's called Recovering Fundamentalist. I don't even like the sound of none of that.
No.
The biggest liberal's ever been. But that's his podcast. Got thousands and thousands and thousands of followers on there. But if you're shook up, by all these things in this world. You're shook up by that spirit. You ain't going to take a stand. You're not going to stand.
That's right.
You come to the house of God. It's happened at Trinity a time or two. We've had a testimony service.
Sure.
You kind of back up just a little bit as a pastor. You're like, okay, Lord, I didn't start it. I ain't going to stop it.
Right.
You know, you kind of, Lord, you just kind of back up. And you look around and the majority never even stand.
No. That's right.
Never say anything. God gets to moving. Folks get to shouting. Majority don't ever really get into it. Majority don't worship. Majority don't cry. Preacher get to crying and worshiping God. And no tears from nobody. No shouting. No worshiping. Oh, preacher, what's happening? What's happened? What's took place? I tell you what's took place. People are so shook up. They can't stand. They can't stand. They can't do anything. And God said in the last days, He needs somebody. Paul said, he said, having done all, he said, stand. You can't stand if you're shook up. And I don't know about you, but it stirs my heart for the stand that's promoted. Do you realize God is the one that chose us to be this generation to be standing? When He comes back, He said, that verse you mean you was talking about the other day, He said, will He find faith on the earth? I hope and pray to God by the grace and help of God, He's going to find it in me, because I'm telling you, we serve a God that back yonder 2,000 years ago, He stood for us between heaven and hell and died up on the cross for you and me, and the least I can do on this side of eternity is take a stand for Him. And I'm just going to be honest with you right now, and I know it's not in the flesh, and by the grace and help of God, if there ain't nobody else going to stand, I intend to stand. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, they'll shoot you. Hallelujah. I've had enough of this place as it is. That just helps me get there just a little bit faster. Hallelujah. Since when is it a problem for God's people to take a stand? He said right here, He said, stand fast. Then He said, hold.
Yes.
Hold.
That's right.
That means get a hold of it.
Yeah,
hold. A tight grip. He said, hold the traditions.
Yeah.
Have y'all seen this? I don't want to meddle right here. I'm done.
Touching,
have you seen these churches that's got traditional at 9:30, contemporary at 11?
Yeah.
You know what contemporary means? Of the times. If they'll read that verse right there, that verse right there takes care of that. He said, hold fast the traditions. Not this new stuff. So when they call us now, when they message us about the church, what do you have for our children? I say, preaching, praying, singing, and shouting in Sunday school. What do you have for our teenagers? Preaching, praying, singing, shouting in Sunday school. What do you have for us? Preaching, praying, singing, shouting in Sunday school. And that's what we're going to have as long as I'm there. It's about time somebody done this right here. He said, stand fast. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you say, preacher, I've not been standing here lately. I've been pretty shook up. And I know things can come. You can get a phone call tonight before you go to bed that'll turn your world upside down. But don't forget, and I know people quote this verse and they throw it around, and people say, well, everybody says that, blah, blah, blah. It's still God's word.
Sure.
He said, for all things work together for good to them that love God. So it doesn't make no difference if what you're going through is the awfulest thing you've ever been through. If you're saved, God said it will work for good in your life. Best illustration I can give you for that is this right here. How many of you ladies, maybe some of you men too, you go in the kitchen, you want to cook something. Now, I'm a big fan of vanilla. I got it from him. You can't hardly beat vanilla. It's hard to beat vanilla. So with that, I like a vanilla cake. Y'all ladies know what I'm talking about. Well, if you get ready to make a cake, you've got several ingredients. Well, it's our task one day, and I love vanilla ice cream. I love vanilla sundaes. I love vanilla cake. I love vanilla pudding. I even love vanilla wafers. Vanilla everything. I love it. So we're going to make a cake. Well, have you ever, now I know he does, but I ain't doing it, eat a raw egg? Ain't got no taste for that. Nasty. You, by the time it hits your tongue, you're like, bleh, that's it. Now you can hold your nose and swallow it, that's fine, but it just don't taste good. So you always have egg in your cake, right? It's got egg, got to have it. All right, I love frying stuff too. But have you ever tried to take a spoonful of vegetable oil and just turn her up? Nasty. Gag you. Can't handle it. Can't handle it. Now, I love vanilla. So I thought vanilla flavoring would be really good. If you've never tried vanilla flavoring by itself, y'all do it when you get home. Y'all try it. It'll curl the hair in your nose, I'm telling you. Nasty. I'm like, how does that make stuff taste good when it tastes so bad it doesn't make no sense? Doesn't make a bit of sense. All right, you take this. That vanilla cake mix is flour, dry flour. Try choking that down. It won't go down. So none of the items in that cake is good by themselves. But when they're all put together and are put through the fire, it brings out something that is enjoyable. So maybe in your life right now, maybe you've got something going on that's got you so shook up, you can't worship, you can't sing, you can't praise, you can't smile, you can't witness, you can't enjoy nothing because you're so shook up. Hey, there's some things in this Bible that are still there. And God said, my word, he said, I change not. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. There's some things in that book that ought to stir us up. So if we get to the point where we'll quit shaking just for a little bit, get our eyes turned back on God, and realize no matter what we're facing, guess what? We're going to face some things out yonder. If you think the last, see, everybody's going nuts over 2020, saying, 2020. If you think 2020 was bad, you might as well just buckle your seatbelt.
You're right.
Because we ain't seen nothing yet, I promise you.
Right.
She's going to go south. But thank God, as this world goes south, church is going north.
Right.
We're going to heaven. Amen.
Right. Hallelujah.
Saint of God stirred, but not shaken. Maybe that's a help to you tonight. What should not shake us? Scoffer sayings, society struggles, Satan's strength. But we should be stirred by the Savior's promise, the Scripture's projection, the salvation possessed, and the stand that is pronounced. God's going to need some folk in these last days to make a stand.
Right.
He's going to need us to stand. He commanded us. He's not just going to need us. He commanded us. He said, stand. He said, having done all. He said, above anything else you can do. He said, if you can't do nothing else, he said, you just stand there. He said, I just need somebody to take a stand. You can't do that if you shook up. But you can stand if you're stirred up. Amen? I'm done.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message once again in its entirety, for a free download of this message or a variety of any other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, you can visit The Preaching Channel at WGCRpreaching.net. If you don't have download capabilities, feel free to call and order a CD copy of today's message at 828-884-9427.